Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Hi, Shereen.
Hello. Oh, we both start at the same time. I guess
that's totally okay. That's totally okay. You know why? Because we're strong women. We're girl bosses.
Don't say that.
Hashtag girl bosses. Shereen and Anna, you heard it here first. All right, guys. This is a new episode of Ethnically Ambiguous. We are joined by a legendary guest. I almost said legendary. A legendary guest. She has been seen on Comedy Central, internet videos, whatever. You know, I could pretend that I have stuff on my head, which I clearly don't. But that's not important because we're here to promote something else for her. She is the co-host of a brand new iHeart podcast titled Truth Hounds, okay? What is that about? You're going to have to listen to this whole episode here. But we are joined today by Kyle Mizzono.
It's a great episode. She is so lovely, and y'all will fall in love with her too. So stay tuned.
Woo!
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi, Shereen.
Hi. Hi, Anna. Anna. We were at a housewarming party the other day, and I introduced you as Anna, and then right after you said Anna, and I was like, oops. I don't know.
Oh, but it doesn't matter. I have no thoughts on my name. And
I just tried to de-white it, you know, because your given name was Anna. And so I was just trying to color it.
Yeah. I have just no thoughts.
Cool. Okay.
You know what? What have you been up to this week? Who cares about me?
I care, but I've been doing a lot of puzzles.
This is going nowhere. All right, let's bring in our guest. Okay. This is the best intro you guys are going to get.
This was really sad.
Hold on.
I tried.
Let me do
the whole, we were at a thing, like, oh, we socialize. It just didn't go anywhere.
Let me do a bit.
Oh, just like
and that's
times.
A delicious Diet Coke. And that
we're not
will,
sponsored.
That will pay our bills for the next 2 or 3 years. You're
if
welcome.
If they were giving us money, I would totally be down for that. But unless they give us money, I don't want any brand names on our show.
That was the crispiest Lyet Loke I've ever had.
Lyet Loke.
Is that better? I'm not saying the direct name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looks like our guest is also drinking some branded content.
Don't say it. What was it? I couldn't even see. Show us. Oh, it's kombucha.
I thought we weren't supposed to say it.
Kombucha is just the name of what like a tea.
Oh, you're right. You know? You're right. Yeah.
Like,
you're right.
It can be
it's
anything.
Not actually the name.
Okay. It could have been house made.
It's true. I did make it at my house.
Yeah. It looks like you put it just in a glass bottle with like a nice sticker on top.
Mm-hmm. That's what I did.
Anyway, the voice that you are hearing is
a murderer.
Comedian.
Just joking. Sorry.
I'm just joking.
I'm so sorry. I apologize.
I am a murderer, and it's so good to be here. I'm glad that they
Wait,
let me.
I don't
me
think we've said
I'm
your
on
name
the podcast.
Yet. I don't not. Think either of us have said your name.
No, we have not, because we're all batshit. Okay, we have a great guest today. She is a comedian. You may have seen her all around Los Angeles in the last year in the pandemic. She's been very out and about. Just joking. But in the past, pre-pandemic lifestyle, you may have seen her around doing comedy. She's been on videos that have shown up in places like streaming or the YouTube. No, this is the perfect intro. And as of late, I don't want to give off too much. But as of late, she has a wonderful, 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 mysterious podcast with iHeart with her creative collaborator, Anna Saragina, on iHeart called Truth Hounds. The Truth Hounds. Sniff, sniff. Damn it.
And
sniff, sniff.
Reportedly.
I've listened to so much of this podcast over and over and over again, so I know all the sound drops.
Yeah, apparently an Iran, an Iranian-American executive producer also helped produce it.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
The only one probably at iHeart.
That doesn't matter. The point is, okay. We have Kyle Mizzono with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sniff, I wonder if anyone just like dropped out already.
Already there.
And that's on them. You know what they are? A loser.
They're missing out.
They really are missing out. Because guess what?
I really
what?
Like the intro.
Thank
too.
You.
It really made me feel comfortable.
See, Shireen, like, you need
that's a pace I could work at.
You need a unwieldy, like just out of control intro to make someone feel comfortable.
That's fair. I just, I will say our little banter, if you would want to call it that up top, wasn't our greatest show.
I don't agree.
But
I don't
I'm glad
agree.
We came back with that intro that made you feel comfortable.
Personally, I think we're unstoppable.
I like your attitude. This is rare. Usually, we're both like okay. existential dready. That was a long pause. I don't know how to have conversations anymore.
Usually. Anyway, okay, Kyle, thank you so much for joining us. Yes, this show is out of control.
Yeah.
How, you know what? Let's not even ask how. Let's ask
no,
why.
No, that's an illegal question. Yeah.
Why, Kyle? Just joking. Where were you born and raised?
Let's start from the top.
It's just such a crazy transition. I just wasn't expecting such a grounded question.
Can you tell we've been doing this for years?
And there's no rules,
so
baby.
Professional and experience.
Zero rules.
I'm from San Francisco, born and raised.
Nice.
Wow.
In the city. So sometimes people ask you if you're from like...
Because people always say SF, but they're like from...
You could be from like different parts, which makes sense, but I'm from the city.
What part did you...
No offense to anyone.
What part did you grow up in?
I don't think you're going to know this, but a little neighborhood called Forest Hill.
I do know it. You know why? Because I'm from the Bay Area as well. Mm-hmm.
Oh my, I didn't know that.
I know you didn't because I refused to tell you this whole time as a long con to reveal now that I know where Forest Hill is in San Francisco.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
So yeah, it's Forest Hill and it's like a sleepy, quiet area.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like in SoCal, I love Northern California, and we went to the same school, Anna and I. So it was both, we were like, I was in NorCal for a while. She grew up in NorCal, but I am obsessed with Northern California, even though I didn't grow up there. I feel like I prefer Northern California. So as someone who was raised in NorCal, was there an allure to Southern California or not really?
Growing up, I guess it was like, you know, Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie kind of that sort of was a thing. And so, maybe there was an allure to what the Hollywood was and the glitz and the glamour. So I do remember when I first came to LA, I was feeling like, you know, oh, I'm so excited to see all these celebs and to really get to know this Los Angeles lifestyle.
You were pumped to meet Paris Hilton the day you landed.
I can't wait. Yeah, to meet my best friends, Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie.
I mean, I'm not proud of it, but it just was the time, you
oh,
know.
Oh no,
you,
that was definitely the era. Yeah,
you know the era of that. So I remember really, just
before
being like,
Kardashians. That should be like BC, but it's like BK. Like before Kardashians ruled the world, we had. Simple things, whatever it's called. Simple life.
Actually,
I was
very.
Like, I gotta go to the stores.
Revolutionary for reality television. The simple life. Along with the newlyweds.
You know why it was revolutionary too? Because it was like, it's so like consumer based because it made you want to like buy things. Mm. It's the first thing you could watch where you're like, oh, I kind of, like as a young, you're like, I will kind of want her purse or. I want her phone.
Yeah.
You know, like there's, I feel like before that, I guess products have always been in anything, but I felt maybe it just hit me. That hit me hard.
Mm-hmm. That was an interesting era because they were like, in quotes, style icons, if you will.
Yeah.
Like the Juicy Couture
sweatpants,
yeah, sweatsuits, like thongs over your, or like the thong straps coming showing up from your low-rise jeans, like aesthetically.
Yeah, over your shoulders.
Yeah, that went over your shoulders you wore as a shoulders top.
There were so many obvious, like, class symbols. Like, if you had the Juicy Couture sweatsuit, like, oh, my parents have money, you know? Like, I think it was just, like, obvious displays of where you were from. And obviously, I never had those things. So, for me, it was, like, I just hated anyone that wore them.
You know
what? Like, why are you flaunting this in my face?
I did have a Juicy Couture suit. I had one. And let me tell you, I think that was maybe the first time I realized some things aren't good on all body types, you know? You know what I mean? It's just, you know, that kind of look just doesn't.
Right. Yeah.
So I learned that the hard way.
Well, that covers about all of your teenage life, I think.
Okay. So what brought your parents to San Francisco, or have they always been there?
My dad has always been in San Francisco. He's like, I want to say he's like, I'm fourth generation Japanese. I want to say he's like that. His many generations San Franciscan.
Okay. Mm.
And then my mom's family's from Hawaii. Ooh. So.
Ooh.
But he's been there for like a while.
So dad.
That side of the family.
Dad is Japanese. Yeah. Mom is Hawaiian. But.
Japanese too.
Oh.
Like
Hawaiian.
She's Japanese. Ew. But she's from Hawaiian. I kind of always wanted to be maybe Hawaiian. But I'm actually not.
I see.
I used to say that to people, but it's just, they're not the same thing.
I mean, if you said my mom's Hawaiian, you're not lying.
Yeah, she's
Hawaiian. So.
Yeah.
So what brought her over to San Francisco then?
Just, I think because of my dad. So they met and then she moved to what they call the mainland.
I see.
So people in Hawaii call like everything else mainland.
Right,
so.
Right.
Wait, that was a huge transition for her.
How did your parents meet?
I want to say her best friend married my dad's brother.
Ooh.
So they met at a wedding.
Nice.
Classic.
Like classic meet cute, you know?
Yeah, classic.
My parents met at a wedding.
Did they really?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I've told you the story many times. Mormon wedding.
Oh, right, you're right, right. I just needed the word Mormon. I was imagining like, yeah, you're right, sorry.
Mormon wedding, Utah, California. That's where they met.
Whoa.
They're like, you're Persian, I'm Persian. No one else is Persian here.
So everyone, you guys miss I just said Utah, California?
I did not catch that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just was
no
like.
No one got that?
Oh.
That sounds right.
No, they met in Utah,
yeah,
Utah.
Sounds right.
Utah, Utah. Yeah. Because that's where they both came to America to go to college. So they met there. But yeah, you know what? Look, weddings are fertile grounds, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt that way ever in my life. I've never gone to a wedding and been like, oh, I'm about to get down.
Actually,
or something.
I agree. You know? Every wedding I've been to.
I feel uncomfortable, to be honest.
I don't really like weddings, but every wedding I've been to does. Everyone's already paired off anyway. And no one like is. There's no flirty vibes. It's just like, oh, these people love each other. They're the focus. They want all the attention. Everyone has a partner. Why am I here? Maybe I've just almost gone to wedding stag, but whatever. Anyways, this has been a really good podcast so far. I want to know, when did you start being interested in comedy? Was it in high school? Was it later? Did you know what you wanted to do in high school? Did you apply to college? Give us the lowdown.
I mean, the funny thing is like when I got into comedy, I was in college and I would say everyone in my life was really shocked.
Mm.
I definitely wasn't the type of person, like you hear stories of people who are like, oh yeah, that I think it's like Gerard Carmichael. I always say his name wrong, but I feel like he has a story where it's like everyone always knew like he was funny and his friends were like, you should do comedy because like that's, you're funny. But no one ever did that to me. And so when I decided in college, I always doing performing things in high school. I went to like a very like creative school where we didn't get grades.
Oh.
And so when I got to college, I started to see comedy that wasn't the stand-up I thought what stand-up was. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think I remember seeing, like, Josh Fadem and him doing his like microphone bit where he got like twisted in it and being like, oh, okay, like maybe there is a space for me because I don't think I can even write a joke. I still can't write a joke.
I think the person for me that made me realize like there are other ways to do comedy was Dimitri Martin. You know, I was like, oh, this guy's his own thing, you know?
Yeah.
What did you study in college then, if you found comedy in college?
I was studying fine arts.
Oh.
And I went to USC. So I was in LA and I was studying fine arts for 2 years. And then I switched my major because I basically realized that I would spend a semester, like one semester, I spent the whole semester like making a circular metal vase. And I was like, this tuition is so high. Why? What am I doing with this time? So I was like, I feel like I need to be learning something and not doing this because I'm obviously not being very productive. So I switched my major to art history. So that's how I spent the rest of my time. And I really enjoyed that.
I love art history. I minored in it. So I'm just like you. No, I'm also
classically useless.
Hey, but it's fun.
Useless, yeah. And I almost had a, what do you call it? The second, the other thing, a minor. Yeah. I almost had a minor in American Studies.
Oh.
But I, for whatever reason, could not complete.
I mean, you're better off. It's probably all skewed and propagandized anyway.
Yeah.
Propaganda. Classic. American Studies. No, actually, I took American Studies classes for my major at Davis, and it's usually just like you're talking about, like, God, what was that one class where the teachers purposefully wore clown shoes to make a point? That's all I remember about them.
What?
We talked a lot about, like, places like Curitiba, Brazil, and, like, how, like, sustainability works.
Why is that American Studies?
Wow.
It just was like you just spoke about things that like were happening around the world and how they like connected to America, like like climate change or like dealing with like fossil fuels or like being more sustainable.
I see.
I have a photo of a slide he put up that just said "fuck your Prius" on it, and I just always see that every once in a while when I go through old photos, and it just makes me laugh because I'm like, what was this guy fucking teaching us? He's like wearing clown shoes. Just he was an interesting guy.
Yeah, I don't understand the clown shoes.
I don't really recall what his point was, but he did actually teach us about one thing. I will never forget was Curitiba, Brazil is apparently the most efficient city like in the world.
So I guess that he didn't mention how America has infiltrated every like so many South American governments also and fucked up their political system. He just mentioned how sustainable
they are. That's not what American Studies is. American Studies has nothing to do with history. Okay. We're not acknowledging history. We're just being like, hey man, did you put a solar panel up?
Yeah, I guess so. And public transpo. So environmental.
Public transpo.
It seems like he was putting his own interests and hatred for Priuses.
No, I mean, like, the class wasn't called just American Studies. Like, American Studies was the umbrella, and then, like, I don't remember what the... Yeah. It was probably, like, American culture in relation to...
Trees.
Yeah, sustainability or something.
Yeah.
You want to pull up my syllabus?
No, please. Okay. That word triggers me. I do not like that word.
That's so interesting, because when I was doing American Studies, it didn't seem like it felt like it was more about like race, and honestly the truth of the matter is I can't believe you remember anything from your class because that's a weird thing of like I love studying, like I was a huge nerd, like I would bring like overnight stuff to the library and just sleep there and I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just liked really like getting down.
I respect
but
that.
I can't remember anything.
Yeah.
And that's like not a much. Thing. That's where and you I went wrong. You tried too hard.
Yeah.
You just no, have but to I, have.
Maybe, yeah, maybe that's the lesson is that if you're in school right now, you know.
You're not going to remember shit.
Yeah.
So don't try.
I was also in a wackadoo major, so like a lot of weird shit happened that I was like, right. That's weird. Why is that guy wearing clown shoes? Your professors your professors were too by the book, okay? They were just showing up in khakis.
That's really fun.
I think every time a professor or teacher tries to like really show you his or her personality, it's just like they just really desperately want to express themselves, and maybe teaching wasn't their first choice, you know what I mean? But just a hypothesis. Or that maybe they just have a huge personality. Okay, so you're at USC, you're in LA, you graduate college. What happens then? Are you thinking like, oh, I want to do comedy? Or like, did you know where you were headed at that point?
Yeah, I was in like a USC stand-up club.
Ooh.
Where we did stand up in front of like in an audit, like in a, what do you call it, classroom, and in front of like students. And I do remember from that, it's like one of my first bits was I popped a balloon and then I said, let's go. That's how I started my set. Cause you know, I was very experimental, really trying things. But yeah, so afterwards I was like, yeah, I want to start doing stand up outside of school. And it was like such a rude awakening because like you really think you're onto something at school. And then you're like, oh, it's a real, like comedy is a really big thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not just happening at my college.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah. They're adults, you know?
Right. Right.
So I was like shocked. But yeah, I think from school, I was like, okay, I want to do comedy somehow. And so.
So how did your parents or friends react to that when you were like, this is what I want to pursue? Especially because no one told you you were funny growing up.
That's tough.
Oh, tough. You said it. I didn't. I don't know.
It's true. Yeah. That's tough. I think it wasn't that the people say it funny. They always be like, you have an interesting way of putting things or saying things. You see the world in an interesting way. Maybe that's what
sounds
they would
like
say.
Almost like an insult. They're just like, can't find the words to insult you.
That's how my family is.
No.
You should hear what my mom said about the podcast, Anna.
Oh, no. Wait, what did she say?
She's like, you need to go back to grad school.
I sent it to Anna. She said, I liked the way you and Anna worked together. I gave it 5 stars. Did you get any other reviews? This is the last sentence of the text. Surprised how long it went.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know what? With parents... That's sometimes as good as it gets.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how, yeah, they thought it was really long.
How long was it?
Not even that long. It's like 40 minutes.
Wow. Yeah. That's a short one.
And then I called them and talked to them about it. And I was like, what did you want us to get into? Like, because they were like, it was so slow. It was really long. I was like, what did you think in a podcast was going to happen? Like, we were going to like get into a car chase, you know, like in some, you know, explosions or, you know.
It's so funny because the rest of her message is really nice and she just had to remind you just like to bring you down again, you know, or like
that's how my mom rolls.
Yeah. Wait, so how did she respond to you or how did your whole family respond to you being like, I want to do comedy?
I think
especially after going to USC, you know, like.
Yeah, I think it was like, you know, well, okay, you could do that, but it's, you know, they're supportive, but it was always like, well, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, well, what is the other thing you're going to do?
Yeah.
You know, like
for
it was
hobby.
Always, yeah, yeah, to support that thing, you know? But I would say generally they've been pretty supportive of like everything, but I think they always are thinking about like, my other thing. My dad still to this day says he still wants me to go to nursing school. And I thought about it at one point.
Yeah. That was like my mom in law school.
Yeah.
Because I failed AP chemistry and my sister's already a doctor. So she was like, you're going to be the next Judge Judy. You love to argue. And I was like, okay. But that never happens, obviously. Let's take our first commercial break and we'll be right back with Kyle.
And we are back to Inside the Ethnically Ambiguous Studio. And today we are joined again by Kyle Mizzotto.
Oh my God.
And she's back.
That's my audition. We are back. Sorry. I like Inside the Ethnically Ambiguous Studio.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Truly idiotic. Okay. So do you go back to San Francisco to start comedy or do you stay in LA?
You know, initially, I would travel a lot back to San Francisco to get more stage time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I really did start in LA, but I was going back to San Francisco a lot because just this little hack is that you could go to San Francisco and go, I live in LA. I'm in town. And then some people find that to be credible.
Wow.
Even if you don't, you're not very experienced. So that's what I did for a while, just so I could get on shows because it was harder to get on shows in LA.
Yeah.
From nothing, you know?
Yeah. And so you were just casually doing comedy and your parents were like, maybe you should do this. And you were like, I can't hear you.
Did they ever go to any of your shows in SF back in the day? Or like,
I'm sure they did. But I think initially for me, and I'm like this to this day, that I just can't. I can't have my family or people. I don't even invite friends to shows. Mm-hmm. I don't like people seeing me. It's too jarring for them.
Right.
I think they're like, who is this person? She's not acting like herself. Mm-hmm, my brother was like, why are you acting more weird than you are? Like all kinds. I have gone through a lot of different comedy phases and I definitely was acting maybe weird because I was so uncomfortable on stage. But I just generally don't like to have people who outside of comedy is like, hey, I want to see you perform. You know, it's like, I'll be like, yeah, it is. And then I'll just... You know, like I just won't
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's understandable. You know, also like sometimes like when I'm doing this podcast, I also like when I don't like my friends talking to me about it. Like they're like, yeah, I heard that episode. And I'm like,
No, I cringe so hard. It's like, yeah, I don't like it either. I don't know why.
I also hate people like, how's the podcast going? I'm like, who fucking cares? Okay.
Oh my God.
I don't say that, but that's how I feel internally.
I mean, I get that question a lot.
In person, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, it's good. It's good. It's good. But in my insides, I'm like, oh, fuck you. You
fuck off.
Fuck. How dare you point out the fact that I have a podcast? So that's like kind of where I'm at. So when did you meet your creative, I want to say partner, but in reality, it's like creative extension because the two of you together are unlike any creative duo I've ever seen in the sense that it feels like I can't see where one person's creativity starts and the other person's ends because you guys are so connected in a way. Like when I think of Anna and Kyle, I think of one being.
Really?
Like the Sklar brothers.
No, not really.
Oh,
fuck
no.
Sklars. And I'm just joking. I have no problem with the Sklars at all. What if I just like came for the Sklars for no reason? They've always been nice to us.
I did say pretty quickly.
Oh,
I don't know if
that's... No.
I feel like we actually starting to have that rhythm, which is really exciting.
It's actually true. Yeah. Okay. So kind of like the Sklars. You're right.
Yes.
No.
Who cares? They're nice guys.
Funky Sklars.
The Funk Sklars. Yeah. So when did you meet Anna?
Well, we met all our, if you listen to the podcast, we did meet on a little curbside in LA.
Oh, I love that.
That was real? I genuinely
actually,
know.
Okay, that's honestly the podcast. I don't want people to think it's not real. It is real. That might be a little bit of an exaggeration. We met, I'm not sure. We might have met in San Francisco before she moved to LA.
Uh-huh.
And I think we kind of knew each other and you know what? The curbside in LA is actually true because I feel like she might not remember this, but I said that for the podcast because the time we kind of connected and were like, we should start to do stuff together. We were sitting on a curbside in LA.
Oh. Nice. Okay. So that it is kind of true.
It is kind of true. And I think at the time, it was the first time we just like, we had known each other, but it was the first time that I feel like we were like, oh, we kind of want to do the same things in comedy. So why don't we just start performing together? And, you know, I honestly think sometimes I perform with Anna. It's like so fun. It just doesn't even feel like kind of sometimes performing is like a chore, but it's cool when it feels like it's just fun and you're just like hanging out with someone and you're like laughing. I just like laughing at what I'm doing.
Yeah.
While I'm doing it.
It's so beautiful that you found a partner that can make you feel that way and that has your same kind of intentions with comedy and like even like tastes and stuff. I love that.
Yeah, I think we have a good balance because she's has a certain energy. She's a little more spicy. Mm-hmm. And I can get a little bit more uncomfortable and quiet. So I think the combination works really nicely because often on stage, I don't really want to say very much. Mm-hmm. So she kind of will do all the talking and I can kind of just, I like to make faces and be quiet and maybe say one word.
What a
so I like
match.
That she's happy to do most of the talking.
Yeah.
This question is just nonsense. I was going to say, have you ever thought of coming up with like a duo name, like Cheese and Pepper? I don't know. That was a bad example. I was trying to think of Salt and Pepper. There you go. I said Cheese and Pepper.
Cheese Jesus and Pepper?
Christ. I was going to say Cheese and Ham or something. Ham and Cheese. Ham and Cheese. And I said,
you're between Salt and Pepper and Ham and Cheese. And you said Cheese and Pepper.
Cheese and Pepper. I don't know.
No, but maybe we should think about it.
You really don't have to. I'm sorry I asked that. I apologize already.
I don't know. I feel, yeah, I don't know what that could be. We could be the Funky Sklar Brothers, though. I think that could work.
And their name could maybe get you a pull. You know, people would be like, oh, let's see the Sklar Brothers.
Like, oh, funky. I got these tickets because I wanted to go see the Funky Sklar Brothers. Oh, it's actually not the Sklar Brothers?
Yeah.
Okay.
That might be good. That might be good.
Yeah.
You might get sued. But you know what? You didn't hear from us. And then we'll have real reason to go after the Sklars for suing you for using their name, which really is kind of on you, but we'll come for them.
Okay.
Solidarity. Okay. So you're doing comedy. You meet Anna. You're doing your thing. Did you ever in your mind think of yourself as like having a big break or anything like that? Or like anything that you could like take home to your parents and be like, see, I'm doing it.
You know, I guess that was a hope. I mean, initially, I think I was always hoping there would be something in my mind. It was like, you know, you hope that you'll do something that's big. But I think at this point, that might not occur.
That's not true. The podcast is great. The podcast is great.
It sounds very depressing. No, I think like, you know what? I'm at a point where I was telling my friend, where I used to feel really self-conscious of talking about comedy with like people outside, like people I've known, because I was like, oh, they probably think I'm a huge loser.
Aww.
You know, like you get older and you're like, God, all my friends think I'm losers. They have like these real jobs and like whatever. I think I'm at my, maybe it's my age or I'm at a point where I literally do not care. And I feel like I don't need anything to show someone that I'm doing what I want to do.
That's good.
And people can like it or not, you know? And I feel that with my family because I came out with a digital series for Comedy Central. I was really excited to share it with my family.
Oh, right.
And I remember the response of it was like, my uncle was just like, wow, you act so weird. Like, I don't understand this. Like, it was just a really weird response from my family. Mm-hmm. And I thought that that was going to be something that they'd be really impressed with because it's like Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And they were, you know? And so after that, I think it's just like, I think they would only respond if I was like turned into Nicole Kidman, you know? And it's like, okay, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to be Nicole Kidman. I don't, you know, like, there's just no way.
Yeah.
So at this point, it's just like, okay, so I don't even like try to talk about it or stuff with my family because I'm like, your opinion doesn't, you know, and also my uncle, it's just like, why do I care about your opinion? It's not like you've been doing this. So how do you know, you know, like everyone is like thinks that they know, but it's like they don't really.
Yeah, I feel the same way about everything you just said as far as like feeling self-conscious, talking to people with real jobs. Because I was at my sister's wedding just recently, and it was like 50 people, a lot of people from high school I hadn't seen in like 10 years. And when a family member was like Shireen's a podcaster. I'm like, I do other things too. Like, it makes me cringe to be like, Shireen is a filmmaker. She's going to direct the next big movie. And I'm like, what are you saying? Like, I get embarrassed. And I think there's an idea of like real jobs on one side and then like hobbies that you are trying to make to monetize and make it big on the other. And I feel like people that are so stuck in success being those real jobs will never see the other side or will never take the other side seriously. And so I feel like I turned 30 last year and I kind of feel like you, where it's like I've come to that point where like who gives a fuck? Like, who gives a shit? Like, the people that matter and care about me, they might not agree, but I'm still going to be myself. It's been a long enough time where we should all just do what we want to do. And that's that. But
also,
I would like more money, though.
Parents who are like not, I mean, something I've experienced and Shireen's experience is like, people of color parents don't give a fuck about your art. You know, like they're just kind of like,
Yeah.
And do you have health insurance? Like, they don't, there's no like, I've been doing this podcast for a while. My mom never listened to it, doesn't give a shit. My dad listens to it every once in a while, goes like, I heard you say my name. And you're like, okay, yeah, cool.
It's whatever. Not even that I want them to listen, really. I actually would prefer them not to, but I mean, I understand where they're coming from, though. Like, they want me to be secure financially. And honestly, right now, I'm not the most secure financially because I do a lot of, like, freelance stuff. So I understand where they're coming from. I kind of relate to what you said about, like, oh, everyone thinks I'm a loser when I say, for the outside people that know, like, that when I tell them I do film or whatever, they're like, oh, she hasn't made it yet, or whatever they think my version of success is, you know?
Yeah, I think those things just exist. I think that's just, like, people outside of this creative world, it's like they see those things, like, you're either, like, Nicole Kidman, as I said, or you're, like, a loser. Like,
I love that Nicole Kidman is your example.
I don't know. So it's just like, I feel like that's just the way that, you know, like, either you're that or you're not. And then everything in the middle, it just that doesn't really compute with people because they don't really know, like, whatever. So
there's not like a trajectory they're familiar with.
Yeah.
Or like,
and
whatever.
I'm okay with people thinking whatever. It's just, you know.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
No one should give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Let's take our second commercial break before I get
I give a fuck.
You going again.
I give a fuck.
And when we get back, we can talk all about your new podcast.
Oh my God.
So don't go anywhere. And we are back. Kyle Mizono. Let's talk about this new podcast you have with your friend Anna. Because I also have a podcast with my friend Anna.
Sorry, not friend.
Oh, yeah, this
creative,
one.
Collaborative being. Sorry.
I don't have to say that every time.
Yes, you do.
Okay. I want to know all about this podcast you have with your partner, your creative collaborator, your soulmate, your twin flame, you know? I want to hear all about it.
I love that. My twin flame.
I hate that phrase, but
I kind of like that. I want to use that.
Have you guys sliced your hands and, like, put them together yet to share blood like they do in the mafia or whatever?
You know,
That might give you, like, hepatitis B or something.
Yeah, I'm open to it, and I think maybe.
Yeah.
Just like a prick, you know?
Yeah, maybe don't slice your whole hand open. And
yeah.
Yeah, but don't blame us
if you
get hepatitis B.
Fucking sick. But anyway, don't worry about that.
Yeah, this show, I'm really excited. I mean, we've performed live together, but it's, like, the first sort of, like, thing we've made together and are sharing, and we've worked really hard on it, and it's a investigative show, and it's about our friendship, and we basically solve mysteries that relate to everybody, and they're the kinds of mysteries that I think a lot of people don't have time to do, but we actually have a lot of time, and so we are going to do that for you.
So is that something that you guys would already do individually or, like, together, I mean? Or, like, how did you cut when you was it let's do a podcast and then you found the subject, or was it We do this all the time. It should be a podcast.
It all started from a Keanu Reeves podcast idea. Basically, when the John Wick Parabellum movie came out, I was mysteriously so captivated by it that I started to continuously watch it in theaters. So I actually ended up seeing that movie in theaters 10 times, which crazy amount of times to go to see a movie in a theater. And so we were like, what is it about this movie, this Keanu Reeves?
I mean, Keanu Reeves is the pinnacle.
He's an enigma.
I love him so much.
I know there's just something. And so I think we were just really interested in... We kind of went in this whole wormhole with Keanu Reeves and found all these crazy stories about him. And so I think really the idea came about that we're both very curious people. We have a lot of questions. And so we like dedicating our lives to doing that kind of investigative work.
Pursuit. Yeah, I like that. And I also like you're right. I wish I had the time to deep dive into a lot of topics that I want to investigate, you know, but it's nice that you're like, you're doing the work for us. So I like that.
Yes. Yeah. And they're like universal mysteries. So they're like, why do I look weird when I don't wear my glasses? Why do I not look like my own brother? Why do you strike when the iron is... What is that phrase?
The iron's hot. Those things.
Yeah. Do you not look like your brother?
My sister, but it's for my sisters. I don't think
I actually do look like my brother, but you know, for someone maybe who doesn't look like their brother.
I don't think and my sisters look that similar. I think we look more like cousins, to be honest.
I don't know if I'm doing this podcast justice, but we investigate things that are important. Like why are people mean is an episode. Because I think we all want to know why
some people are just mean.
Yeah. But
a nice person can become mean or do a mean thing.
So, yeah. We like to investigate those kinds of things. Yeah.
We've all been mean. Mean is also just a word I think is low-key cute, you know? I don't know.
Mean.
It just sounds... Yeah.
They're mean.
Yeah.
Personally, I've never been mean unless it's behind your back. But...
Oh my.
I think the show's really fun because you guys like just hit on very like nuanced questions that like you might ask to yourself of like, why is that person so mean? But you would never really investigate because you're just like, it's not something people deem to be like worth it. But you guys have like taken this opportunity to be like, no, fuck that. Like, I want to know why some people are so mean. And you truly do the work. And
we do the work.
It's impressive.
But I will say, though, that we do take some twists and turns.
Well, that's the thing. I do want to say, I'm not trying to offend you by making this comparison. So if I do, please tell me. And it's not really that offensive, but I don't think we've ever spoken to you about this. Maybe we have. I have a 3-second memory.
A lot of buildup on this. Okay.
It reminds me a lot of the TV show Nathan For You, where he originally has one thing, but then it goes all over the place until he gets to the end. And that's kind of what your show reminded me of. It's, you know, like literally a better Nathan For You.
Hey, okay? I love Nathan For You. I think it's the highest compliment. Either that or John Wilson. You don't like Nathan For You?
No, I never said I didn't like it. I'm just saying this is better.
Oh. I mean,
I'm giving
that's
it a
really
I'm trying
high. That's a really nice compliment.
Yeah,
that's
what hello. I think, yeah. How do you guys think you get people to listen to shows by being like, it's not great? Come on, give me a 40.
it's actually kind of a worse version of Nathan For You.
No, because
so
you
maybe
opened
you
it up by
check
saying,
it out.
I don't want to offend you. So hey, I'm just like, why would this offend anyone?
Look, maybe the show's kind of whack. So you guys should check it out. Like, I'm trying to do something here. I EP'd the show. Come on, Shereen, play along.
Why would you open it up by saying I don't want to offend you?
Because what if they're like, we hate Nathan? Then what? Then where am I?
We definitely, like, in the same way he kind of approaches things, we take something and then kind of go A to Z or A to, you know.
Yeah.
A
Did you
to
watch
10.
How To with to John 10? Wilson?
Yeah. I've seen that, too. That's really good.
I think that's a great example of, because Nathan For You was also, I think, the producer, or he helped make that show happen, essentially.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same kind of cyclical or like you start at one place, like, how do I take care of my furniture? And then you end, like, you go to, like, some anti-circumcision man. Like, it's just, like, the wildest places that, like, have to do with just covering things. And I appreciate that show a lot. I think it was one of the best things I saw last year, honestly.
Yes. So if you like that, this is better.
Oh, right. Sorry.
You like that stupid, dirty, terrible show that we all enjoyed? This is better.
That's cool, though. I should have listened before you were on, but I don't listen to podcasts, but I will listen now. I think it was obvious when I was asking her about it that I hadn't listened.
You should listen, rate, and subscribe.
Review. And review.
It's on all wherever you can listen to a podcast.
Anywhere I can listen to podcasts. It's Spotify, iHeartRadio, podcast app, iTunes. I don't think iTunes is still a thing.
Or it's the podcast app.
What do you mean?
App.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say, maybe you've not heard of Apple.
No, I'm just saying they changed the name.
Well, yeah. I'm getting the new Apple chip in my brain, so you can't stop me.
My question is when you go to the podcast app and are you rating it 1,000 times? Because I noticed you can directly click 5 stars and you could do it every day.
I don't think it matters if you do it every day. I think it only connects it once.
But I also do that every time, so just in case.
I'm not doing it every time. I'm just, just asking.
But did I leave a 5-star review already? Yes, of course I did. I do that for all my new shows because you have to. You have to be your own advocate. Mm-hmm. I've always said that.
That is true. I also think the way that it's similar to Nathan for you is that I think it kind of blurs the line. We got some criticism, or someone was just like, I don't know what I listened to. Was that real or was it fake? And I think it kind of blurs the line of that.
Yeah.
So, but I would say we do all the things. We're not faking going to the beach. We're not faking any of our field things. We're doing everything. We're actually putting in the work.
Do you have field things? That's pretty sick.
Oh my God. You don't even, Shireen, you don't even know yet.
Hey. I'm coming into this as like an audience member that doesn't know about the show, right? So actually, I'm very helpful here. You know, I'm asking and reacting to all the things that a layperson would.
Look, they're truth hounds. Sniff, sniff. Ow! Also, the sound work in this show is unbelievable. I gave them one login to a sound library. They came out with shit I had no fucking idea was in there. I was like, where did they find this? They're like, your sound library. I'm like, there's no fucking way you found this in there.
Wait,
like, okay.
I want the sound library. You can't have it.
You can't have it.
Someone asked me recently, what's your favorite music? And I actually said the iHeartRadio music library is my favorite music.
Do you guys edit it yourselves or how do you incorporate the sound?
Yeah, we edit it ourselves and we pick out the music. So a lot of times that's like my favorite part because you're like, oh, this feels like a rock moment. You know, it feels like there should be like a durner. And so we always find things that work with that. The library's amazing. There's every genre and it's really good music. Some talented musicians in there.
That's pretty cool. Wait, so do you guys sit down and edit it together or how does that process work then?
Basically, my boyfriend is editing, so we just edit. And that's why it worked. I mean, initially we had him because he had experience, but we were in COVID, deep in COVID. So it only made sense to work with someone we could be in a bubble with. Mm-hmm. So it was just, we would just do a lot of sit-down sessions and we still do them. And it's probably, I want to say, 90% editing. Mm-hmm. It's like we'll be really quick to record something, but we listen to every beat and create every pause, and it's a lot of like manual labor.
The creative liberty really comes in the editing phase.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. And it like the effort you put into that, I think, is probably evident in the episodes because there's like, I don't know, it's not just a podcast where you're just talking to two people about anything that comes up and your intro is weird, yada, yada.
No, and that's in the show. Like, it's so well edited. Like, the twists and guys, literally, like, I can't even, like, I forgot to tell them they had to do ad breaks because I was so, like, the day before the show came out, I was like, oh, shit, you guys need 2 ad breaks. Because, like, when I listened, I was so, like, in it with them that I would forget to like give like good notes. Like I would give notes, but like I never told them they needed ad breaks. Like, that's beyond me. That's like the first thing I start with usually when I'm producing a show is like, you have to find the perfect times to give ad breaks. I never even mentioned it to them because I was so in this show, I couldn't do my job properly.
That's a great thing to, like, I'm glad that you're able to produce something you actually enjoy.
I was fired. Like, that was plain and simple. Like, they were like, she can't even do her job anymore. This show's so good.
She keeps talking about ad breaks.
I'm out.
I'm not even a part of it anymore.
No, I'm out.
She took her little box and left the...
This whole episode is just at the very end, Anna is just like relentlessly badgering you for firing her.
Yeah. So Kyle, anyway, so if you got any gigs coming up, like, really, I'm out at IR. Could you imagine I got fired because I was just too into a show?
It's like, you're doing your job really well and you seem to like it. Please leave.
I forgot about like the whole side of like capitalism.
Right.
That exists within the podcast industry. I completely forgot.
And wait, so you also worked with Miles on this, right? Were you guys like doing like just co-producing? Or what was that like?
Yeah. Okay, here's how it all started. So one day I was sitting in the office like 2 years ago. Jack's listening to something on his AirPods and he's like, right? How he laughs. And I was like, what are you listening to? And he's like, oh, these two girls, like their manager, like submitted this manager agent. I don't remember. Submitted this. Wait, was it Josh?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe it was.
So this Josh? Is before COVID?
This is before COVID.
Before COVID. This has been in the works. Wow. Yeah.
Didn't know
your
that.
Guy's Josh, right?
Yeah, that's yeah.
Cool. And sorry, I know all agents, by the way. So I'm not even joking. I can literally look at a person. I'm like, here's your agent's email because y'all are fucking annoying. All up in my goddamn inboxes all day, every day. Agent, managers, publicists. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's my own problem. So I'm like, Jack, what are you listening to? And he's like, these two girls there, you know, agent, whatever, sent this stuff over. And I'm like, who are they? And he said, Kyle Mazzono and Anna Saragina. And I said, I was like, record scratch. What? I was like, let me hear it. Send it over. He sent it over. I listened to it. I was like, first of all, you would be a fucking fool to not do a podcast with these two. And he's like, do you know them? And I'm like, do I know? Literally, I think you were also had like just been on Underbelly like a week before. So I was like, do you know these two? Do you even know these two? And, I'm not even joking. Like, this is how obnoxious I am in the office and over Zoom. So I was like, get him in. Let's set up a meeting. We listened to the show. This was the Keanu Reeves show at the time. And we thought it was so funny. And I was like, you got to make a deal with them. Like, they're just the best. They're just the best. I know them from the comedy scene. I love them. They're great. They do Underbelly all the time. Get them in.
It started as a Keanu Reeves show.
Yeah, yes. It's called There's Something About Keanu.
There's something about Mr. Reeves.
There's something about Mr. Reeves. There you go. And that show, I do hope we can release that episode one day because it's so fucking good.
Especially because we literally just interviewed someone and something came up.
Yeah.
So I feel like we have to bring it back from the dead.
Yeah. Wait, so what made you decide, you and Anna, to pivot?
I think the thing was the fear that we couldn't do that many episodes with it. I think it's more of a limited series, maybe.
Yeah.
But opening it up and being like, we're going to just figure out sort of little mysteries along the way.
Maybe it can be like a special episode or something.
Yeah.
Or like the understory of a bunch of like episodes, you know?
Yeah. I think we definitely want to share it in some way.
Yeah.
Bring it back to maybe in another season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's where we came from, you know? Yeah. We go back to basics. We go back to the start.
And I feel like your fans would really like that at that point, right? Like, oh, I wanted to know how this all started. And there's like a bunch of hype and stuff. But okay, so this is before COVID and everything. So during this past year, have you guys just been like hunkering down and like getting a lot of stuff done? Or like what was the holdup?
Well, the pandemic happened and then things got kind of delayed, I think. But
yeah.
Also, like, it's the industry, baby. Things take time.
That's true. That is true.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That makes true. That makes sense.
I'm sorry, but it's also very true. It just takes
took a long time. But I think it came at the right time because we literally had nothing going on. So we've been able to dedicate. It was actually easier because we had, you know, it was like there was nothing really. Now things are open. So we have to compete with, you know, maybe I want to go to a bar on a Friday night. And now I can't, you know, I want to do my podcast.
Yeah.
That's not true. I don't go to bars, but I just, that was a bad, that was a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, also just this industry, baby. Things take time. That's all I can say about that. I would go into the specifics, but it's honestly, it's just boring. It's just like industry boring shit where it's like someone being like, here are the terms to the agreement. And then someone else being like, well, here are my revision to the terms to the agreement. And someone else being like, here is our revisions to your revisions to the revision of the terms to the agreement. Do you know how many emails I've been CC'd on where I'm like, oh my fucking God. Because it's all terms, baby, talking terms.
I guess that, yeah, I guess that was the...
It's nonsense.
I mean, the silver lining, I guess, to being stuck at home is that, yeah, you're able to dedicate time to something and like really... especially something that you do kind of by yourself or with just one person, you know? And now everything is like coming back to normal and you can just hit up every bar you love, you know, because you go to bars.
And I
don't go to bars either. So I don't know what they do there, but I heard that it's fun. this has been so lovely. I love getting to know you better. I really like your comedy and I can't wait to sink my teeth into your podcast. Is there a dig one too? I don't know. I'm sorry.
Sink my teeth.
That's a phrase people say.
Yeah. It sounds so vicious.
Oh.
No, but I mean, I get where you're coming from though.
Okay. Well, this has been a really fun conversation. And before we let you go, can you please tell our audience, if they don't already know, where you are on the internet, if you want to be found, and also where they can find your podcast?
Yeah, the podcast Instagram is at truthhounds. And I think we already said in the episode, but you can find it wherever you get podcasts. And you can please give us some ratings that are positive, nice, and subscribe. We got new episodes every Tuesday, so they're going to drop and hope you're ready.
Yeah.
You're good.
First episode dropped on the 15th of June. So
by the time this comes out, you got to listen to the rest, you know?
Whoa, yeah. Oh. You're going to have a lot to listen to.
This comes out next year.
Yeah.
I guess see you next year.
Joking. Anyway, thanks for being here. And see you next year.
See you next year. Just kidding. This will come out sooner because we'll make some adjustments. You know why? Because we're powerful women. We're powerful women who can do whatever we want, okay? And that's the end of the show. Okay, bye, Kyle.
Bye. Bye.
Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.